Hello, friends. Welcome back to AV Art Club. I am Chris Clamp, and as always, I'm joined with my partner in all the things.
Lauren Clamp.
Yes, thank you for joining me tonight, Lauren.
You're welcome. I do live here. So.
Well, thank you for allowing me to live here with you. So it is Monday. I can't read the calendar. February 5th, 2024, and we are here for another episode of AV Art Club. Isn't that exciting stuff?
Woohoo!
Yeah. So, where do you want to start? You want to do a little catch up? What you up to? What have you been doing?
Yeah, we can do a catch up. So, last Friday, I had my first long Substack post.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Thank you. It was a review of Liz Nielsen's show at SoCo Gallery. The show is called She Loves Me, and it's very beautiful and magical. So read the review.
Yeah, absolutely. You did a wonderful job writing that. Highly recommend everyone check that out. We'll link it again in the show notes.
I thoroughly enjoyed writing it, and I'm having a lot of fun with Substack. So it's been good so far.
Good. Oh, real quick, before we diverge a little bit, when does that show close?
I believe February 28th or 9th.
Okay, so it's up for a little longer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, everyone that is listening to this, if you are in the Charlotte, North Carolina area or somewhere nearby, I highly recommend you check out the show. It's beautiful. It's at SoCo Gallery again. And if you go there, it's in their annex space. So that space is behind the actual gallery that's on Providence Road. And it's locked, I think, most of the time because it's not really staffed. But if you ask one of the gallery staff inside in the main building, they will gladly let you in, and you can enjoy the show that way. So highly recommend it. If you've tried to go and it's locked and you kind of gave up, go by and see it before it's down.
Yes, definitely.
So anyway, go back to your Substack. Tell us again about that.
What do you want to know?
So you said that you're kind of getting into it. How frequently are you thinking of using it? Have you gotten really excited about it? What do you foresee?
Well, right now I plan for it to be a weekly thing that comes out every Friday. So far I've done two consecutive Fridays. One was an intro post and the second one was that review. I'm currently working on something for next Friday, and I'm just trying to get the hang of doing a weekly post, because what I've learned, even from posting twice, is that it takes longer than I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought, like, the review took a lot of time, and I knew that because I've written a lot of reviews, and I know how I work and stuff. But I was trying to do a more casual post for next Friday, and while I do think it's more casual, it's still taking time. I had this like silly idea that I could knock it out in a couple of hours this afternoon, and that didn't happen, but it's okay. Like, that's part of the writing process. If you read my intro post, you'll know that I haven't really had anything published in a while, and hence I haven't been writing that much very frequently. So when you get out of the groove of writing, it's kind of like getting out of the groove of like making art or anything. Like, you are a little rusty and it just takes you longer achieve what you used to achieve. But I think that by forcing myself to write every week, I'll get better, I'll get quicker. And I have a ton of ideas, which is good. I always have so many ideas about everything. So it's nice to have like another outlet for that. And currently everything's free. So when you subscribe, you can sign up for free. It might say, like, if you want to make a donation, you can, which you certainly may, but that's totally not required, nor expected, nor anything. I really just want people to read it for now, and yeah. I don't have any paywalled content, obviously, because I'm just starting, so you'll get everything for now.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see where you're going to go with it. So, and how you're saying that it's going to take, it takes longer than you would expect to make a post. Yeah, I get that. I mean, you have high standards with a lot of things. So even though you think, oh, I'm going to just kind of throw this together and put it out, like your standards are very high and you'll want it to have a certain level of polish. I'm the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I can be a perfectionist like that. Although I don't really think it's like perfectionism. I think I'm right about it.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just like building any other habit. Like it feels like a big stretch at the beginning. Like even like fitting in this podcast felt like a stretch for a long time, like for like a few years, and we would like do them really sporadically, but like now that we've just like said like we're doing them every Monday evening, like I mean it's been like a month, but still we haven't really had trouble just fitting it in, and we know we're gonna do it. So like I want to build that same habit with the art writing for the Substack, and you know, it's all fun and games. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know if I'm going to get like tons of subscribers or even any paid subscribers, but I just want it to be like maybe like a door to something else. Like if someone came across it and wanted to like use me for a project, or if I was like trying to get in on a project, I have this body of work that's current that I can draw from for like writing samples and stuff like that. So I'm not like putting a lot of pressure on what it is or what it will become. I'm just having fun, and I'm trying to be a little like looser with it than I would if I was like not the editor-in-chief. So like for example, I want to do a series like comparing artists to their sun sign.
What is a sun sign?
Well, in astrology, the day that you are born, the sun is in a certain place on the zodiac wheel, and you have a sun sign. So maybe you're Gemini, like us, or a Leo or Aquarius. I don't know. If you know, you know. But I just thought it would be kind of funny to like take an artist from each sun sign and like say like, are they like a textbook whatever.
So sun sign is just a, it's just a, like when someone asks what your sign is or your zodiac, it's the same thing. It's just another phrase for it.
Yeah, sun sign is like the main sign people usually talk about.
Oh, gotcha.
Like,
okay.
Because like obviously the sun is in a place when you're born, but so is the moon and like Jupiter, like Uranus and all these other planets, and like all of that combines to make up your chart. So when people are like, I'm not just like one of 12 things, it's like, no, you're not. You're like a compilation of your whole chart plus just other life stuff. Like, don't be so literal, but that's usually what people mean when they ask what's your sign. It's your sun sign. So since Chris and I were born in June, we're Geminis. Now Gemini isn't the whole season of June, whole month. It's like May 21st to June 21st, and my birthday is June 21st, and some years it's like June 20th or even June 19th or 22nd is the cutoff. But the particular year I was born, the sun was still in Gemini on June 21st at, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whenever I was born. So I'm technically a Gemini.
Nice. Well, welcome to the club.
Yeah, I think a lot of good creative people are Geminis. Also a lot of crazy people, but I don't mind that.
It makes us so much more interesting, you know, because all this stuff makes sense. You know, like we'll listen to music and we'll flip through our playlist and it'll go from something like classical to hip hop to metal and back to indie or whatever, and it all just makes sense. Like, yeah, what this is what we listen to.
And like for so much of my life, all I wanted was to be like one way, like one direction in my life, and like I was just like, why am I so disjointed? Like, mm-hmm. why do I like love art and like music and like English class, but like I freaking love to play tennis and like mm-hmm. I love hip hop and but I love like the Shins, like, you know, when I was like a teenager and I was just like, why can't I just pick a way of being?
None like, of my friends get me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I was always a person who had friends from like multiple friend groups, and I didn't have like my own core friend group because I was just friends with a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, I want like my clique, my people, but like I don't have that. But yeah, as I get older, I actually love that mm-hmm. about yeah. me. And Chris is the same way. And
Gemini AF.
And it's mm-hmm. funny because like I've always been very shy and soft-spoken, and if you met me in real life, like, you'd probably still think that, although I've come a long way. But like Geminis love to talk, and like I never related just like some of those Gemini traits, mm-hmm. but as I grow older, like I do love to talk. Like, yeah. I realize that.
Look, you got a podcast.
Like, that's why the podcast is great, because I can blab it up and, yeah, talk to myself. So, I love astrology, but I'll keep it to a minimum.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I'm very curious about that, because it's really neat when you kind of learn certain things about an artist that you just didn't really think of. And I know that you noticed that Robert Motherwell the other day was born. He's an Aquarius.
Yeah, his birthday is January 24th, which is Aquarius season. I just thought it would be funny, and like yeah. a sort of funny way to like learn some facts about an artist. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, a lot of people I know, even if they're not like woo-woo people like myself, like mm-hmm. they still are aware of astrology and even like consider it a little bit, like to varying degrees of seriousness. But I mean, I feel like everyone knows their sun sign. Like,
yeah,
even my like Catholic grandma, she's the one who introduced me really to mm-hmm. astrology. She's like super Catholic, so it's kind of surprising that, well,
Catholics don't perform all sorts of magical rituals and things.
Well, yeah, in their own but ways. They don't think so. But she would always read her horoscope in the paper, and she's like a super proud Leo. She's mm-hmm. like, I'm a Leo, I love the limelight and the stage, and she does.
She really does. She tells great stories.
Yeah, and then she would read like my horoscope to me and my sister's to her, and like mm-hmm. you know, my mom was like a proud Libra. Like mm-hmm. so, and these people, they were not as extreme as I am, but they had like a functional knowledge of astrology, so I think most people do. And I just want to tap into that because art and astrology are two things that I personally know a lot about and are important to me.
Well, I can't wait. Just curious, give us a teaser. Like, what is Robert Motherwell being Aquarius? How does that match up?
Well, I'll give you two examples. So Aquarians are super visionary people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're good leaders under their vision. And Robert Motherwell is often called a founding father of abstract expressionism. And he did a lot of the writings.
Yeah, he was like the leader of the group in a way.
And he, mm-hmm. Yeah, he would write kind of all their philosophies, their manifestos. Mm-hmm. He's also extremely well-educated.
Yeah.
And then another example is Aquariuses can be very aloof and maybe care more about like the collective than individuals. Mm-hmm, and Robert mm-hmm. Motherwell was married 4 times. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. you might gather that personal relationships weren't his thing.
Yeah.
But he tried, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading, no, I didn't read this. I watched this and an interview with Robert Motherwell that was recorded during his lifetime. He died in 1991, and this interview was somewhere in the late 80s, I'm guessing. And anyway, he described kind of his schedule, and apparently he worked late into the evening or the night, and he would wake up late, you know, due to this, and kind of have a very slow start. And that's just how he worked. But it didn't quite work for other people because he had like galleries and museum people calling him from Europe. And, you know, he's like still in bed or whatever.
That's funny.
Yeah. And his studio is in the East Coast. It was in Greenwich, Connecticut. So it wasn't like he was, you know, in San Francisco and New York is already kind of doing their thing, but it's not quite 9 o'clock where you are in San Francisco. But anyway, interesting stuff.
Yeah. Well, you said he died in 1991 and I was born in 1991. So of course,
oh my God,
it crossed my mind that
his soul jumped into your soul. What if I'm
Robert Motherwell? But he died on July 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So we were actually on this earth together for a couple of weeks.
That's cool.
But could have been a close one.
Yeah. Oh, man. If you two crossed paths, I'm sure you would have had a very deep discussion.
Oh, well, I mean, I can see how I could have been Robert Motherwell because I love abstract expressionism so much, but
mm-hmm.
alas, I'm not.
Mm.
And I kid, mostly.
Yeah, me too. It's part of the Gemini, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about me.
Well, that was interesting, the whole Substack thing. I'm looking forward to your release on Friday. So everyone that's listening, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. You'll be amazed.
Please subscribe. Yeah. The handle on Substack is at Lauren P. Clamp. So I made it easy for you to find and sign up. Yeah, I do it every Friday. I like Fridays because it's like fun and I feel like you don't have to read it on Friday. You can save it for the weekend when you're having a better time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Anyway,
right.
Enough about me yet again. How about you?
I'm good. I've just been working in the studio. I'm now like working on the studies for this latest commission, which I'm very excited about, and hopefully they will go smoothly this week, and hopefully I'll be able to start on the final painting in the next couple of weeks, you know, sometime maybe after Valentine's Day. But that's it. And then I've got some other things in the studio, just inventory that I'm working on. You know, I don't have anything schedule that this time, which is like a little weird because I've had exhibitions on my calendar for like the past couple of years, it seemed. And right now I don't have anything necessarily scheduled, but you know, that's okay because What's important is you must always be working, you know, to all my fellow artists that are listening, you know, always be producing things. Because you never know, someone might contact you and have interest in giving you an exhibition or something, some opportunity like that. And, if you have just an exhibition of work kind of handy, you're good to go. But if you're like, well, I don't have anything, how much time do you need? And, you know, you could miss out on a golden opportunity.
Yeah. I think of so many artists that we really love and we'll go to their studio and it's like chock full of work.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people might think like, oh, why is it in their studio? But it's just because it like pours out of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when like it is time for an exhibition or a collector comes to visit, like, they actually have stuff to look at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Or if they're showing with a gallery and the gallery decides to do a studio visit, you know, there's like whatever, like 30 paintings, you know, sitting around, and the gallery can just pick the best things, things that they find most marketable to their collectors, just pick those things. And, you know, it's just part of being an artist is always be working.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I'm doing, I guess. I guess that's all to share in terms of that. Next week, I'll start working on my slideshow presentation for the Morris Museum of Art. Again, I'll be down there in Augusta, Georgia, giving a presentation on Thursday, February 15, 6 to 8 p.m. So if you're in that area, please come out and listen to the talk and ask questions. There'll be a Q&A afterwards, and I'd love to meet you all. And, you know, we can spend our post-Valentine's Day together.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. We did go see your show, but we didn't spend a whole lot of time in Augusta. And this time we'll get to stay the night. The Morris is generously putting us up at a nice place. So that'll be like a fun little Valentine's weekend.
Totally.
Trip, explore a new town a little bit. And I don't know. I just love little adventures.
Yeah, me too. We've always had great art adventures.
Plus trips. It gives me fodder for my blog.
Yeah, no, that's not fodder. Well, it's my show, so it is
it's
fodder.
Not fodder. I'm just,
yeah,
you know, the content nice. Mill.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Do you have anything on your mind?
I mean, we could talk about a number of things, whatever you have in mind. I know that we're both really tired, so we had some things we wanted to dig into. Like, I wanted to have a discussion on about some isms. Like an art history discussion would be kind of fun. I mentioned photorealism was a good one, but you know, there's a big deep dive in that. It'd be kind of interesting to talk about some other isms. I wish we could watch that mannerism docuseries that Valdemar just put out, but I think it's only available in the UK at this time.
Yeah, it's like Sky Arts or something.
Something
I guess
like that.
Sky is like a broadcast network in the UK. Like, if anyone out there knows how you can see this in America, please let us know.
Yeah.
We're dying to see it. He also had like a Michelangelo thing that we haven't
still
seen.
Couldn't see that.
Because it's on that Sky Arts thing. And
the only thing I could think of is if we got like a, you know, maybe like a Amazon Fire Stick, and we, you know, jailbroke it, and then you could like watch, you know, internet plugins from other sources like that.
Yeah, because Chris is a hacker.
We could do that, and I think that it would work. But then again, it's like, is it even out there? You know,
like, I don't know. Someone help us, or if you're in the UK, like. Record it for us.
Years
or something.
Ago, I used to like take the time to dig into these things and try to find some obscure like torrent or some internet plugin for something like that. But I don't have the time anymore. It's like whatever time I have to be at my easel working. And that's where I want to be. It's not because I have to be. It's where I want to be. But the reality is also that is how I'm paying my bills. So I have to be a little bit more observant of my time.
I gotcha.
Anyway, the mannerism thing that Valdemar has done seems like that would be pretty amazing. And if you all haven't seen any of his other documentary videos on arts, you can check those out on YouTube. Is it called Perspective Channel?
Yeah, it's like the Perspectives Channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has most, I think it has like everything he's done on it at this point. I guess it's like some affiliate of the BBC or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, maybe these documentaries will pop up on there, but I want to see them like now.
Yeah, they might have some sort of, I can't come up with the word right now, but there's like something where they're exclusive to that channel for a certain period of time before they're released to their YouTube audience. You go to check those out, all of them are good. The Renaissance, the Baroque.
That's probably the best one.
Yeah, I love that one. The Holbein.
That one's great.
And the Rococo.
Yes, Rococo.
Rococo after bedtime. Was that what's
yeah,
that's
great. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. He does a good one on Impressionism. And then some stuff on like Van Gogh specifically. I don't know. He's just really funny. Like sometimes I'm just like, I only want to learn about art from him because
he makes
he's
it
so
interesting.
Funny, but also like really informative at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Van Gogh one's great. Impressionism, like you were saying, like, you know, for example, you know, he discusses like just some random thing that really is amazing. Like, all right, for those of you that make art that are listening to us right now, you've held a paintbrush. You know, there's that little metal thing that's kind of clipped to the end of the wooden stick of your brush that the bristles go in. That's called a ferrule. And up until the Impressionism period of time, the ferrule that didn't exist. All the brushes attached to the brush hairs attached to the brush handle and were kind of like bound there with some string, and all of them were the same, like round. But in the era of the Impressionists, they had the metal ferrule that would crimp. So then you got like flats and filberts and all sorts of other shapes, and it would just lended itself so perfectly for the Impressionists to like slap the paint on so fast.
Yeah.
Little things you wouldn't really think about. It's just interesting trivia.
Yeah, and that's like the same time that paint and tubes came out, so they could take their paints outside with them.
Yeah.
Which you kind of learn about more in school than the feral thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and then the little French easel. So then you could take your studio outdoors, and then boom! Now we have all these. That's how we got Impressionism in a way, and now we have plein air painters out there under every rock you pick up.
Yeah, yeah, and like it's funny. Like it'll show him like wrestling a French easel like onto a train, like trying to like retrace their steps from Paris out to the countryside. I don't know. You just gotta watch.
It's good. But no, I don't know. We could talk about anything, but nothing serious. One thing I do want to say, and I mean to not like throw any like shade at anyone in doing this, but it's a couple little things I do want to say. To those that are listening, to artists that are listening in particular, is whenever you have the opportunity to work with a gallery or like a nonprofit, maybe a nonprofit is going to give you an exhibition, something like that. Anyway, never take less than 50%. It's just like good advice in a way. And you want there to be some transparency too. Your paintings in your studio, we've discussed this before in previous episodes of the podcast, but your paintings in your studio, they're going to have a consistent price structure. So let's say you have a painting that is 24 by 36 inches, and that painting is $1,000, like retail price, like out of your studio or whatever. And let's say you start working with a local gallery to you, that paint is still going to be $1,000, unless that gallery works a deal with you and you all decide that you need to bump your price structure up. Regardless, if the painting, whatever the painting is in your gallery, is going to be that same price in your studio or anywhere else you were. You need to have a consistent price across the board. And if you are now showing in that gallery space or another gallery or nonprofit, you're most likely going to share a commission with your gallery, but that's going to be like 50-50% split. You know, you as the artist should never accept less than that. In your career, unless for some reason you have some golden opportunity to show at some amazing gallery somewhere, and you're like, okay, I'll take a hit for this.
But they wouldn't ask you that if they were an amazing gallery.
Yeah, exactly. Good point there. All this to say is just because like we had someone approach us about maybe doing some curated exhibition, like curated group exhibitions in another space somewhere that is a nonprofit, but they're going to require that they keep 50% for themselves, which leaves just 50% for the artist and the curator, aka us. And you know, whoever is curating the show, you know, whether it's us or anyone else for that matter, they're going to want to make it worth their time in some regard and have something worked out where they kind of take some sort of cut. And that's fine. They should. But in doing so, you, the artist, in that case, would still be taking less than 50%. While this nonprofit space gets the lion's share. And, you know, that's just not fair. That's not how things work in the art world, especially in, like, the commercial sphere of the arts. I know there's, like, a lot of, like when we've talked about this before, but, like, when you're in art school, some people think that selling your art's kind of dirty and you're a sellout if you do that. But, you know, that's how the art world grows. And that's how you as an artist grows, is by showing at a nice gallery and selling your art, putting it in collections. And then at some point, those collectors that have purchased your work through the years maybe donate those pieces to a museum. This is just how the real art world really does work. So anyway, I'm going on a little rant, but it's just kind of a little gross when you see how like a nonprofit is not even involved in that realm is wanting to get a little greedy about certain things like that. And it actually is doing a disservice to the artist.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of profit for a nonprofit to begin with. And then, yeah, it kind of screws over the artist in the end, who is supposed to be the main event.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to call it any names or anything like that, because, you know, everyone's just doing their thing. I just want you, the artist, to be careful at all times and be aware of what your place is and things, so you don't get taken advantage of. I mean, I've seen and heard all sorts of stories in my time being involved in the arts, and in Charlotte, I've heard things that's really kind of gross. Like, God, Remember that there's like those the billboards? Like there was a thing like years ago.
Yeah. It still exists.
Yeah, where like the artists, you know, they get their art on a billboard and you think that's all special and good and everything, but it actually like you get, you know, you don't really get anything out of it. And
no.
And
they
then,
don't pay the artists to use their image on the billboard. They are paying you an exposure, which is nothing.
Yeah.
Especially on a billboard. No one's even like stopped long enough to read your name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you're driving by, you don't notice anything like that. And then like later on, if they're still doing this, they were like taking the billboard which has an image of your work and like making some sort of fashion from the vinyl. And then,
yeah, they were like cutting it up into tote bags.
And then selling those, right? They were selling them?
Yeah, selling them to benefit their organization. Still nothing going to the artist.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's one of these things that it makes you feel like, or they're trying to make you feel like you're getting this golden opportunity and a favor is being done for you. But it's actually not. Like, you just become kind of this, what's the word I'm looking for? You're just kind of like a
cash cow.
Yeah.
A pawn.
But that's not the word I was looking for. You're like the decoration at a party or something like that. You know, everything else is like happening all around you and everyone's having a good time, you know, drinking their,
you're like a jester.
Yeah, drinking their champagne, but they and there's this entertainment which is the pictures or the sculptures, but they aren't really celebrating the artists in that way, just celebrating themselves. And it just upsets me. I've seen that happen too often and people get taken advantage of. And anyway, just putting that out there.
Yeah. Agreed.
Hmm. Do you have anything?
I don't think so. We didn't have that much to talk about. We just wanted to make an episode and tell you guys what we were working on mostly.
I think we did have a lot to talk about. We talked
well
about a
I
lot.
Guess we did. It's the Gemini in us.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's sign it off then for now. Where can people find you? Tell Substack and all that.
You can find me on Substack at Lauren P. Clamp, and you can find me on Instagram also at Lauren P. Clamp. And you can find this podcast on Instagram at AV Art Club. And you can email this podcast to avartclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you. And everyone, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. If you want to type something out, you can just type something like the name of your pet or whatever, or a question in the review, and we'll read your question on air. We've received some 5-star reviews, and if you've done that, who is listening, thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. We enjoy this and we hope you find something helpful in our podcast.
We do appreciate it, and just know that when you do rate and review the podcast, it helps people find it on Apple Podcasts or whatever hosting platform it's on.
Yeah.
So we deeply appreciate that effort from you.
Exactly. Let me think. I'm on Instagram at Chris Clamp Art. Website's chrisclampart.com. I should be updating that soon, hopefully. Maybe once I get the Morris show behind me. Which, by the way, that exhibition runs through March 3rd. So if you're in the area near Augusta, Georgia, South Carolina, and you can kind of make it over to that area, it's on view through March 3rd.
Yes, it's beautiful. So check it out.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Have a lovely evening.
Good night.
Test it out.
Test.
Think you got it?